I'm really glad I got an opportunity to do this because I've always wanted to interact more with students, and this is the best thing could have happened. So last year, Rob had started the graduate seminar series with a presentation where he gave tips how to deliver good, effective presentations. And I think most of you might have attended that already, and it's all—it's on Pearsa. You can always watch that. So I'm not here to give you tips. I'll share a few of my slides where I think I might have presented them in a way which is different from normally how would a presentation would be. And if you like, you can always use those ideas. You might have your own ideas. So what I'm going to do today is firstly talk about, take ideas from you, what you think, how you will present, and how you'll make a PowerPoint presentation. You're always welcome to have a Blackboard presentation. But we are going to talk about how to make a slide and present it. I need your ideas from here. So let's start with sharing your ideas before starting a presentation. Where do you, what should be your starting point? Like, do you start right away preparing slides, or you have a plan or something? Can you share some ideas just right on the Mentimeter and it'll show up on the projector screen itself? Okay, perfect. So the first idea should be your target audience, right? Storyboard. Outline, yes, a written outline is perfect way to start with, because I think before making movies, everybody has a script, a handwritten script somewhere. Duration, main takeaways, exciting first slide, sketching the main points. I would say, yeah, takeaways and sketching the main points, why the results are interesting, motivation. Title, yes. You have to come up with a title which is like not yawn-inspiring and awe-inspiring, right? Great, anything else? And if anyone can elaborate more on these ideas, introduce prerequisites to understand exactly, like for lectures, if you're giving lecture, if you're a faculty or a teacher somewhere, you have to introduce prerequisites. That's a very, very nice point. Think of essential equations. So can someone elaborate? What do they mean by this? Like essential equations, like you don't want to fill up your slides with a lot of equations and the main equations? Is that is what is meant? I hope so. Just correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I think this kind of sum ups everything which I could think of even better. Like some points like prerequisites and coming up with exciting first slide. So these are some ideas which even I didn't think of, but target audience is a very important point which you should keep in mind while preparing your storyline and also while preparing your slides. So the color scheme which you are going to use for slide highly depends on the audience you're using. The storyline is the most important part of your talk. So if you have a beautiful storyline and your slides connect throughout, I think you would be able to engage the audience a lot. Okay, so I have all these points, and I think everyone has already included this, including the presentation length. So you should keep in mind the length of your presentation. Okay, now your ideas. Coming up with the design of the slides, like the overall designing, how would you plan to make your slides look like? Can you share some ideas regarding that? So you could comment about the background, you could comment about the color theme or animations, minimal equations, yes. Sometimes hard, but yeah. Dark background. Yes, for I think for a big room, dark background works the best, but if it's like a small room, then even white background doesn't hurt so much, but always use a contrasting background and text color. Photos, plots, illustrations, always better than equations and text. Agree. Lots of cartoon, it depends on what kind of audience you are using. I would avoid using lots of cartoon and making witty things if I'm presenting my thesis. So yes, but if you are presenting it for high school students or to your peers, I think this is something which engages audience a lot. One piece of information at a time, agree. One slide should have one piece of information. There's no harm increasing the number of slides as long as they are neat. So if you clutter the slide a lot, it takes the attention away. Colorblind, friendly graphs, yes. And I think green and red are the colors which mostly people are colorblind to, right? Is that right? I think so. Oh, okay. Animations and graphs, yes. Not using too many plots on a similar phenomena, yes. You have to stick to time, and if you spend a lot of time spending explaining just one concept, I think, especially in a 20-minute talk, won't be a good idea. So anything else? I think this is how text slides are clicked through versus show up all the time, yes. Giving a lot of information altogether is not a good idea sometimes because the audience tends to start reading instead of listening to what you are delivering. So maybe if you could use some kind of animations where each point shows one at a time. Don't write on slides what you are going to say exactly. So it's not a teleprompt where you are reading through your slides. So just use bullet points for your convenience, but don't write entire texts. Focus on explaining a simple example, then generalize to more complicated stuff. Yes, a lot of people use this approach, especially in science communication, where you come up with a very basic idea and then join it to the main content of your talk. Slides announcing transitions between sections, that helps because it's kind of a title where it shows that what's coming up next in your slide. Wonderful ideas, and I think most of you have already covered that, but I have a few added. One is used master slide, which is like too trivial, I think everybody knows. But what I like is boxing or highlighting important facts. For example, what I try to do is, and it's just personal preference, like you have your own personal experiences with using PowerPoint and giving presentations. With a heading of the title, I usually have a takeaway point written, and you'll see in my slides, which I'll share, main takeaway or just summary of the entire slide somewhere on the slide itself. Try to use monochromatic color scheme. That's my personal preference. And including headings for each slide. Empty spaces, I like empty spaces, and that's mostly people do like a lot of empty spaces and cluttering. Okay, your ideas related to the text, font style, colors, font size on slides. So this is something which I know that you already know, but it's a good kind of a revision exercise for everyone since you are going to be presenting it. As little text as possible, big font, large enough to read, but like, can you define what does large or big mean? Consistent sizing for each layer of bullets, yes. And this is where master slides really come in handy because you don't have to manually change the text size on every slide. So once you use a master slide, it automatically has a consistent size. Complete sentences are not always necessary. Yes. So can anyone suggest how big should be the font, any standard font size which you prefer?
Yeah,
bullets, avoid long sentences. I usually prefer 24 to 28 text size for the main text. And for titles, it's between 30 to 48, depending on how long the title is. Always avoid all capital letters. It's not readable. These are the preferred fonts for for slides, in contrast to Times New Roman or Arial, which are usually used for documentation. And try to stick to one font, or maybe at the most two, one font for the title and the second font for your main text. Figures and images, so any tips for figures and images on the slides? So I'm glad here I'm not giving any presentation, because you already know what I would have included in the presentation here. Big figures, not too many, yes. Always define all symbols, yes. Labeling the X's on plots, explain X's. As simple figures as possible, least amount of data, readable. Polish them a bit, like curved edges, etc. Yeah, I like images with little curve, but you can always use, so if you're not using graphs and you're using pictures, you could always remove the background. There are websites which removes the background and that makes the picture look much neater instead of having a square picture or square photograph. Don't recycle paper plots. They might have unnecessary notation for the presentation. Yes, redo plots with as little information as necessary to give your points. And that's true for tables as well. So sometimes we tend to take a screenshot of the paper plots or paper graphs and then put them on your presentation. You could do that for less important presentations, but for your thesis presentations, I think avoid doing that and try to devote a bit of time in replotting or redoing the tables, because those screenshots on the slide, they usually don't appear so well. So here are my suggestions, is use high quality graphics, because if it's a big screen and the graphics are not too, the pixels are not clear, it doesn't put a good impression. And there are few websites which increase the quality of your graphs. So they increase the pixel points and the graphs, they look much cleaner. Labeling and remove background is some suggestion which I have always used on my delivering. So can you share some tips for delivering a talk effectively? So this was the part which we covered, was all related to how to make slides more interactive or attractive. What do you think are the tips important for delivering? Face forward, yes. Practice. I think that's the most common tip that you should, for a 1 hour talk, you should at least practice for 3 hours beforehand. Ask questions to make it more interactive. Speak slowly. As slow and step by step, explain everything on a slide. If you don't, it shouldn't be there. I totally agree. Reiterate important points. Yes, if you're using them quite often, maybe using a part of the slide to keep those points on the slide won't harm. People only remember a few main ideas. Decide what yours are and make sure you repeat those 2-3 times. So I think it resonates well with the previous point. We don't have to give enough info on all the details of what we have done exactly. Decide what to say and what to skip. And the common tip is that on a slide, if you're not able to summarize the point in a sentence, then you should practice. It's really important that you should be able to summarize, because sometimes when, as a researcher, when you know about your work, you tend to give a lot of details on one particular topic, which should be really avoided. You should be able to summarize the whole slide in one sentence using scientific language. And it doesn't harm if you try to memorize a few of the sentences, I think. Yeah.
Just wants to add, happy comment on that.
Yeah.
So it's a very common mistake that I've seen, specifically youngest people.
Oh.
Even myself, the point is that when you spend a lot of time on conducting research, there are a bunch of stuff that you have to avoid mentioning it, and that hurts because you spend your time on that.
Yes.
And that's a very hard decision.
Yes.
But you have to make sure that you do this.
Yes.
I've seen people that they come and give a talk and they want to mention everything in a very short period of time. That's dense. They have to talk super fast. And yeah, that's...
I agree. And what at times help for important talks where you have time is recording your talk. Once you record your talk and listen back, you'll realize what are the important points which you should be including in your talk and what are the points which you should be avoiding in your talk. So yeah, if you don't have peers to listen to your talk, recording is never a bad idea. So yes, it's very hard decision. Like when you have spent 4 years on something, you know the subject and you tend to give every small amount of detail related to your research.
Also, it's more common in the research which basically works with numerical computations, because the majority of the time that you're spending is with the computations. You shouldn't say anything about those, except if there is something fundamental, which is the point of the research. But then you want to say, yeah, this is how I did this simulation and blah, 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 but that's not the point.
Probably, yeah, irrelevant for the audience sometimes. So it's a very tough and important decision when you make what has to be included and what should not be included in your slides. So maintaining eye contact, talking to your audience, adding pause for emphasis, making a story, it's some common tips which are used. A common mistake as you grow in giving presentations, sometimes people tend to plan gestures, which is not a good idea. You could have some thought, maybe on this slide I could share my personal experience or a personal story, but don't plan the gesture, just make a thought that you should be mentioning it, that is fine. Don't apologize for being nervous, because nobody notices that you're nervous. It's just you that you feel you're nervous, but maximum amount of the audience, they don't even realize that you're nervous. Apologize if you're wrong, practice. And one very, which I didn't put here, just came to my mind, is that when audience, they ask you a question, it's always a good idea to repeat the question, because first, it gives you time to think about the question and answer it in a better way. Secondly, most of the audience, they might not have understood the question. So it's always a good idea to repeat what the audience has asked you. It's a trick I have seen a lot of like good researchers, they have used. So if somebody asks, they just repeat, okay, so your question is this, so that everybody else in the audience knows what the question was. Body language. I think as long as you have like good presentation, body language might not put so much impact, but there are a few tips which makes you feel confident. Any ideas? Okay, so I have a few. Smile, really important. When you smile, it shows the audience that you are confident, you are not nervous, and you feel confident if you're smiling. For important points, so it's usually best to interact with the audience, look straight into their eyes, but sometimes for important points, it's always good to show your back and then highlight them by a pointer or directly looking at those points. Walk around. So I always invest money, which I didn't, waste of money for me, in having a pointer where it's a remote pointer and I have an option of changing the slide and I don't have to go back to the dais to change the slide. So if you want, it's not a bad investment in purchasing your own remote laser pointer. Back straight and try to cover as much space as you can. I think this is it. That's the end of the presentation. I have few slides which I want to share, show. And there are a few slides which shows the do's and don'ts. So what's wrong with this slide? This is not a good slide. I don't like it unless somebody can convince me that it's a good slide. What improvements can you do?
Too much text.
Too much text?
White background.
White backgrounds in a big room, yeah. But I usually like white background. That's a personal preference I have.
And also, I don't like the pictures to be very square.
Yes, a rounded picture.
Frame something.
The headline? I think headline should be at the top instead of being at the bottom, right?
I think the most important thing is the pictures aren't relevant.
Pictures, yes, it's just an example, yes. It's not relevant. Anything else?
Maybe too much space lost is that, like in the left bar. You always feel that there is a lot of space that you are wasting, like writing down your name, the day.
Yes.
Things like that. Every single slide has.
It shouldn't be there.
Space and attention.
Exactly.
Something that maybe is not.
I agree. I think Rob also mentioned something last time. So yes, a lot of space wasted here. I'm wasting this space for almost every slide because it's just an example. And you should put your information on just the first slide. That's my preference as well. But some people like putting all the information as a footnote, which I think is a waste of space. Yep. So still a lot of text, but that was not the point. The point was to have the headlines on the top instead of in the bottom. And if the text is more important than the picture itself, I think I would prefer putting it on the left because usually most of the languages they read from left to right. But if the picture or the graph is important, then I'll put it on the left. Yeah.
Also, pictures, I would rather to have them like in a vertical.
Yes, that would have made space more.
Plus, when I want to, so as for my things, I want to connect the info to the pictures. Now there is a gap between the information and the right picture. When it's like this, it can easily
cut. Yes, and maybe justifying the text as well would have helped a little bit. It doesn't look neat because it's just left justified and not right justified. What's wrong with the slide?
Too small.
Too small text, yeah. Too much text.
And again, the background white and the pink is
not putting much of. Not eye-pleasing, I would say, but yes. Bullet points makes text look bigger. And yeah, the contrast is not so eye-pleasing. What's wrong with this slide?
Too many different sizes.
And complicated fonts. I have seen people using complicated fonts, but that's only for the title. Like for the main text, not advisable to make, because a lot of audience are going to read what's written and they'll spend too much time trying to read what's written on the slides. Saying this would be a better slide according to me. Maybe you can give more suggestions. And we can complement your slide with a small background or a picture. What's wrong with this slide? much colors. I wouldn't mind having this for my 8-year-old. Maybe she won't write like the yellow thing. It's not readable, not this one maybe, but pink or red would not mind. But for professionals, I think this slide has too much color, which is annoying, distracting. And the yellow one is really not good. So I'm using colors for font, which are contrasting to your background. And you can always use, there's no harm using different colors to emphasize a point. Instead of using italics or bold, which I don't use, some people try to use bold or italics to emphasize a point, I try using a different color. Too hard to read? Any suggestions? How would you improve this slide? So I want to keep the picture. I want to keep the text. Yeah.
Sometimes, if you put take the white text and then make it also like a copy of it, but in black, and then slightly offset it. Then, yeah.
Okay. So moving the text around somewhere, is that?
Like a shadow through the text, basically.
Oh. Okay. I have never tried that, but yeah.
Outline to the text.
Okay, so it'll be a box.
Not necessarily a box because then I'm losing part of.
Yeah.
But the outline, to the letters, yes, it goes.
Oh, okay. What color do you suggest? Because I think no matter what color you choose, this is not readable. But yeah, I could try that. So maybe using a pink, bright color for outline. No?
I think black.
Black? Because black is not visible either.
No, for the outline, I think it's okay, right?
It's okay? Okay.
Over there, the white is readable, but at the center, because the background is white, then that's black.
And for white, for the black one, using white? Okay. Huh. Any other suggestion? So one is outlining. I could try that. I haven't tried. That's a good suggestion. I just moved this is the best I could come up with. Sometimes people also, if the picture is not too important, like it's not giving you scientific data, they use transparent, like they increase the transparency of the picture. Sometimes that helps as well. There are tools to make pictures transparent. So now with these examples, what next I'm going to cover is, let me see how much time I have.
Like 13
minutes? Oh, at least I need at least 5 minutes in the end for the forms. Okay, so I have a few of my slides, and you can give me suggestions if you think you don't like something. It'll give me an opportunity to improve, and you're free to use those suggestions in your coming talks. So I've divided the slides in 3 parts: the start, where I'll talk about introduction, motivation, and outlining. The main context of the talk with some examples, and in the end, how you could frame your ending part of the talk. So usually, the title slide is the first slide, and as Raquel suggested, putting your information only on the title slide is the most preferred format. And you can enhance it with a graphic related to your talk. The opening and the end part of the talk are really important. So there are a few suggestions here which tell you how you could open with a hook by using some very captivating visual or starting with a misconception that normally people think that, but it should always be linked with your talk, which you're talking about. Some joke, like experienced researchers, they always start with a joke. And it grabs attention of everybody in the audience. I really like that. Sharing some surprising fact or statistics. For example, you could also start with a relevant quote. So quote with a picture of the person which is aligned to your presentation. This could be a starting. You could start with a question, like, why does time flow in one direction or something like that? You can enhance them with animations, or you can put up a lot of questions in the audience mind, which are related to your talk, obviously, which you are going to answer in your coming slides. That's a good hook to start with. You can enhance your starting with words like imagine or what if, like phrases like these always grab starting attention of the audience. Outline of the talk in a 20 minutes talk is not preferable usually, because especially if you are just reading out that I'm going to cover this, I don't recommend doing that. But for your thesis, I'm sure you will have an outline. For outline, my personal suggestion, but you're free to do whatever you think suits you best, is going through the outline very quickly and not wasting a lot of time on going through giving details of what is going to be covered in the slides ahead. Motivation. And for motivation, if you have like a lot of content on your slides, which you can't remove, you could use animation and divide your slide into sections, either vertically or horizontally. That gives you ability to share a lot of information in one slide and yet not cluttering it a lot. For example, this gives three important aspects of my presentation, that where the atoms are used, or what we are able to do with atoms. They are cold, they are trapped, they are precisely controlled. Motivation is also a very important part of your talk. It depends on how much time you want to spend. With motivation, I think mostly people tend to give applications of the work as a broader application, which is not as advisable. I don't like that. You could add a few broader applications, but try to include applications which are relevant to your talk that day. So some of the questions which you're actually answering during your talk. Instead of using bullets, I sometimes use arrows to show important points. A combination of picture and text always works well. So you could either use a picture and then complement with the text, main takeaway, or what you can do is you could use a background. So it's not much visible here, but it has a background of field and the text on it. So these are the two ways which I use: text, combination of text and images. I also use colors and changing font for really important points in my talk. I really like this idea, but again, it's my personal preference to do that. So if there's a point which I really want to emphasize and is really important point, I would like to make it dramatic by using colored fonts or making the font really, really big. And that important point or the takeaway should cover like one single slide. So one slide entirely dedicated to the one important point which I want to make. For comparisons, it's always advisable to have both the comparisons sideways. Sometimes people tend to change slides back and forth to show the comparisons. My personal preference is keeping both sideways so that the audience can go through the concepts all together. There are fancy ways to make tables, just not by drawing columns and rows. For example, I like this tree-like structure for the table, and I use different fonts, like sizes or maybe colors, for the numbers which I want to show are important in my table. This has already been present, like shared by everyone here, that it's better to use graphs or graphical information instead of using text to deliver your point. So instead of just saying 25% and 15% in a text form, it's better to draw graphs and then show your point. And it's always advisable to have main takeaways from the graphs in text form as well, because sometimes people like to read out what the graph is presenting. Okay. At times, mostly what people do is they have the sources as a footnote. But if there's a source which is really important and you want people to go through the sources, there are more ways in addition to this where you can emphasize and then draw attention of audience that this is a really important source which you're using for the slides. Now this slide could have been all text, all bullets. This is describing an energy level scheme for an ion. And it's a kind of a clock proposal. It's an atomic clock proposal. But instead of giving all the information that the clock transition is 3D, 5 half to 4S, the lifetime is this, and we have lasers and so on, instead of doing that in bullets, which normally people do, you could draw graphs, show the lever scheme instead of doing that. So this gives exactly the same information which I could have put in bullets, but this, I hope, puts a better impact on the audience. At times, not for like scientific talks, but if you're giving talks to high school students, or if you're lecturing, like you're a faculty and you're lecturing in class, it's better for physics, not for maths, because that's not always possible for mathematics. It's always helpful to draw pictures and try to visualize the concept. Okay. For example, measurement could have been explained by a picture. This is where I was trying to explain my class the concept of a path integrals in fields. Equations can be put in fancy ways. So for equations, since equations are really boring, I try to add more color to the equations so that at least they are eye-catching. And it's not always true that you have to write to describe the equations. You could just draw small helpers, which gives this exactly same amount of information, because what you are trying to say is more important. So when you're explaining what these pictures, like Schrodinger-Huysmans pictures are, I don't think you need supporting text to describe these equations. And what's important for equations when you're showing for any scientific talk as well is that you describe each and every component of the equation. And that's true for graphs as well. You define the x's, what x's means, what are the units, and so on. And you could add a little bit of humor as well, not to your PhD thesis, but yeah, if you are giving a presentation in grad seminar series, I don't think adding few jokes would harm. When showing workflow or methodology, using smart art really helps a lot. Putting things in blocks, in flowcharts, gives a better schematic of your work rather than putting things in bullets. So yeah, smart. I hope everybody knows how to use smart art. It's a very smart tool, I would say. Now, depending on how much time you have, how much time you want to devote, when you're trying to explain a concept, you could always use animations. Like, for example, if I'm trying to explain interference pattern, there's no harm devoting half an hour in making an animation which makes your presentation look more effective. Okay, and you could also add animations to your slide itself. So there are tools to do that. It's not that you have to go to a separate slide to show the animations. And yeah, and these animations give better information than just the equations, which tell you what the Schrodinger picture is, where the state vector is evolving, and what the Heisenberg picture is, where the operators are evolving. These are some graphic tools. And There's no harm learning one. They are really easy. If you spend time on learning one, I think it would go a long way, because you will be giving a lot of presentations in your entire career. Conclusion is, I think mostly people try to summarize, but don't summarize the entire talk, just summarize the main points. But what I like doing the most is, in the conclusion, I try to add a few, try to restate the parts which I state for my introduction, those phrases, so that it gives an impression that whatever I intended or whatever I promised to cover or answer in my talk, I have done that. And also some future avenues of research, it looks really professional. Ending should be something which is captivating, because starting and the ending point is really something which everyone is going to remember for your talk. So you could end with a nice phrase. And usually people have this ask question slide in the end. You could always replace it with your collaborations or your list of publication, because that shows the importance of your work. Like if you have a lot of collaborations or a lot of good publications, instead of ending at a question or thank you slide, having this would give an impression that yes, you have a lot of weightage to your work. And this is something which I have been using for a lot of time. I don't know, maybe you guys are already doing that. Keeping some extra slides in the end is always useful, which is like a question answer slide, which you expect that audience, they are going to use, or maybe some things which you couldn't cover because shortage of time. If you could keep those slides in the end of your talk and somebody asks a question, it looks really professional that, oh yes, I have a slide because I was expecting this question, and then going back to the slide and then answering that question. So yeah, I think this is the end. I had one exercise where I thought maybe I could have ideas of how to improve this particular slide. And I have taken this from this 5 of best PowerPoint presentation examples, where they give really 5 nice templates of how the same information could be delivered. But before we do that, I want everyone to go through 2 surveys, and then maybe in the end, 2 minutes, we could go through that. I had prepared my talk according to 15 minutes, but I think we got late, and yeah, so I might be over. So this is a quick survey, if everyone could just go through. These are some extra events which we plan to do depending on the interest. That's why I'm taking this survey. So if we don't see much of the interest, we'll probably remove those. So what we are intending to have is a panel discussion with postdocs for postdoc applications. A PI science meme showdown, where I was expecting if grad students could have science meme, could take pictures, make meme, and then we could share just for humor. Art of scholarly writing, debate. Yeah, this was an idea where I'm sure you have seen those popular debates between scientists where they debate about quantum gravity, string theory, and so on. So I was thinking if we could have one of these debate where a grad student could moderate and 2 students could maybe talk about different approaches to quantum mechanics, orthodox, and so on. This is the graduate scholar editing workshop. Okay. 3
Oh,
you could only do one?
Yeah.
Ah. See, I'm not so well prepared.
So there's biased later option.
Aha. I could maybe send a Google form. I don't see a point that you all go through this survey if there's only one option. I would send a Google form, and if you all could fill out. Okay, so another thing which I really wanted to seek your interest is in this science communication course, which we are planning to start for grad students. And we have already talked to Tasha about it. I know you have very little time, so this survey includes all the questions which I have in mind, like how much time you would be able to dedicate, you are interested or not interested, what kind of activities you would be interested, if you have any past experience with science outreach or science communication. I would really request, and I would also send this to Matt so that you could circulate it among different grad students. I need this information so that Damien, who's also working with me, he's in the outreach team. So Damien and me, we are trying to come up with a plan where we could arrange for some training for grad students for science popularization or science communication. But that would entail, because I have so many ideas. I have done this before in India with my university, where we used to run a science club. And we did a lot of science outreach activities. But it obviously depends on how much time students are able to devote. So before planning what we intend to do in the course, I think it's important first, I know how much time and how much interest you have in such science communication courses. Okay. I think this is it. But since I have these five formats, I wanted this to be more interactive, like giving an ideas of how would you present this information. But the starting point would be to know the content, what the slide is about. And since we are already past time, I'll just go through what this nice source had to offer, okay? So the information is divided into three parts. I'll just quickly tell. One is related to the appearance of the sea dragon. The name of the sea dragon, the appearance, and the eating habits. So these are the three main takeaways. And the presenter has presented the same information in three different formats. Okay. So this is one format where they explain that you could have a title slide and the subtitle gives like overview. This is what I personally like, having one main takeaway just below the main title of the slide. And then using three different graphics and summarizing the information related to those three main takeaways of your slide. The second format is this, where the presenter, they tell that there's a one sentence summary, which is the main takeaway, so it's highlighted so that it attracts information, like attracts attention, and then more information in full sentences, and then actual picture. I like the first one more. This is the most commonly used format where we use text and then the supporting picture, and the text is mostly used in bullet forms. This is the fourth format, which has like more text information for people, depending on the audience which you have. And this outline, this layout has like photograph, one-line summary, three visuals, and information which is like more in text form than in bullets or in pictures. And this is something where a person could use, where you just want main three takeaways, and then you want to describe these takeaways in more detail by speaking, and you don't want to show the information on the slides. So these are three, five, or maybe there are more, but my personal preferred is this one. I really like this layout a lot. But there are ways, different ways of doing the same things, and I'm sure you have more ideas than I do. Any questions or any suggestions related to this or related to the grads seminar series, if you have any questions in mind? So I request you all to fill out, Matt has already shared this, and if you could have a preference of when you are going to give a talk, because we really need somebody to present something, like two people to present something next Monday. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.